Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 5 in our teaching on the Book of Philippians titled Praying, Preaching, Prison, and Death. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Lord Jesus, we love you today. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be with you and to be with your people. And Lord Jesus, it is it's amazing to me, oh God, how we take a little time out to be with you once a week here. And how in eternity we'll be spending all of our time with you. And where now we budget for a little bit of time, in eternity that'll be all time. That all the things of this world will fade away. The only thing that will remain is that we've learned and been with you and to know more of you. And Lord, it is my prayer that when all of us enter heaven, that we don't have to go through an orientation class to heaven. It's my prayer that everyone that studies your word will already know where they are and how to act and what to do. So Lord, let us have this orientation while we're here on this earth, that we might enter into your classroom of the heavens, that we might lead and we might rule and reign with you. In Jesus' name. And all that thought that was a good idea said, amen and amen. It's amazing you get praying in here these days. You just get prophetic all of a sudden. I don't know what's going on. It just rolls. Here we go. It just rolls out. We'll blame Elizabeth and the Holy Spirit for that one. But it is amazing how you can come in here and just start praying, feel His presence. And I think that God is perhaps more eager about this than we are. So if that's the case, and if that is true, perhaps we'll all open our arms to His presence and to Him and His Word, that we might receive it and that we might hasten the day of His return. Amen. This week in Philippians lesson number 5, we're going to begin here. If you'll notice back on the table, there are copies of the teachings. If you've missed any of the lessons, you feel free to pick you up it's either a CD or a DVD, I forget which. It's yours, take it home. We don't need it returned. We need you to give it to somebody. Invite them to church. Invite them to Bible study and the study of God's Word as we endeavor to find ourselves to be students of the Word of God. And so we have those back there. Also, I had mentioned a CD about grace last week, about the grace of God. I think there's 100 back there. I would like for all of those to be gone when we leave today. Not that I want you to waste them, but that I want them to be gone, be given to somebody. If you think you need to take 2 or 3 or whatever, just take 2 or 3. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to who to give those to. And it's about the grace of God. And it's a great understanding. So there's 100 of those back there, plus the past teachings, if you've missed any and would like to catch up. Also, you can go online at newlifenc.com. Newlifenc.com. You can go online, and you also can view the teachings on the School of the Word there. Pastor Steve now has them posted, so anyone could watch it. We're actually live streaming these now. We have other people that are watching it with us in here this morning. So I want you to be on your best spiritual behavior. And now listen, when I said that, do you really know what that means? There you go. And we'll be on our best spiritual behavior. We really want to encounter God's Word and His Spirit. And so you can view that also online. And if you're online watching and would like to have any of our materials, you can just email us here at the church, newlifenc.com, and we'll be glad to send those to you. Well, let's jump into the Word of God this morning in Lesson 5. I hope that you've had opportunity to read your homework and to go over that. We're going to go over just a little bit of these first questions as I try to teach this morning. We see that Paul, before I move here, the title of this lesson is Praying, Preaching, and Prison, and Death. Praying, preaching, prison, and death. We want to try to bring a little bit of opportunity to death, and Paul does here in giving a relation to to physical death, and then spiritual, soulless death brings spiritual life. Now, in the beginning of this, we can see in your homework, it says to read Philippians 1, 3 through 11. Now we have entered in to Philippians chapter 1. Last week we did verses 1 and 2, and this week we are entering verses, the rest of the verses of chapter 1. I'll do just a little more overview also in this. So here we see that Paul's thanksgiving and prayer is what happens in verses 3 through 11. Now, if you have your observations worksheets in the back of your book, feel free to turn there, and you can view the reading of the scriptures in your observation worksheets. If you do not have a workbook, you can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And we see here that Paul gives thanksgiving and what? Prayer. Thanksgiving and prayer. If you start noticing in the scriptures and also in the Psalms, you'll notice that a lot of the Psalms says to enter his courts with thanksgiving. And here we see that Paul introduces something here, thanksgiving and prayer. Now, the Bible is a little different than reading a novel. Words are not wasted in the scriptures. Every word means something. And so that's why we want to look into the scripture, just not at. If you start, we can read it like a novel, we can read it like a history book, but then we want to start looking into it. And as we start looking into the scripture, we start seeing when you have a multiple of an idea. If you see an idea all the way through the scriptures, it's what I call a key. Like Thanksgiving, for an example, King David always gave a thanksgiving to enter into his courts. And so when we do worship, we like to come first of all with a mindset and a heart of thanksgiving. You can say, well, Alan, that sounds a little mechanical. Well, it maybe is a little mechanical, but you've got to understand it's a reminder. Rituals in this contemporary age taking on a bad name. It was never to have a bad name. The reason we do rituals or when we have things that are repetitive is to remind us, because as humans tend to forget things. And so God gave us things in the scriptures to remind us. And so he's reminding us, hey, might be a good idea when you enter into my presence, you know, start off with thanksgiving. Now, also you can, let's say, for instance, if you are in business and you go into your client, or if you're a vendor going to a customer, the first thing you do is you say, you know, I really appreciate the business that you've given us. Perhaps I'd like for you to take a look at this, right? So we understand that it is a spiritual key to begin any true communications with thanksgiving. If you go right up to somebody flat-footed and you start just telling them what for you think, if you really think that's going to do any good, somebody needs to stand flat-footed to you and tell you what they think, because it's not going to work. And can anybody tell me why, if you go up to somebody or even in business or whatever, you say, I really appreciate your business, what would like for you to, why do you think that is cool? Why do you think it's necessary? It does what? Builds a relationship. Exactly right. You see, it doesn't do any good to speak to someone if they don't open up their heart to you before you speak. It does no good. You can say, well, they just need to hear a piece of my mind. God help us. I don't know how many people have got bored with a piece of your mind yet. If you're not bored with yours, I've got a piece of mine that you can borrow. You see, we can be in the soul or the flesh or whatever and give somebody a piece of our mind, but it's not going, you're not communicating. Nothing's happening. So God is showing us there is a way that we act in the Spirit. Now, why do you go in with thanksgiving? We go in with thanksgiving. If you truly want to communicate to someone, if you truly want to communicate, if you're not trying to project who you are into somebody, which is witchcraft, say amen, Alan, I understand. Anytime you're into projection, it's witchcraft. In other words, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And you didn't even ask for it. Right? So there's a spiritual key to permission. So why do you give thanksgiving? It's because you are truly saying you are appreciative to that person. I really appreciate the business that you've given us up to now. And it's out of that appreciation, I would like to share something with you because I think that it could be profitable to you. Right? So if you're giving someone information, you're saying, you know, I appreciate everything you've done, but this might be helpful to you. So when we bring correction to anybody, we can call it that. It's always under the idea, you know, you might want to consider this. It might be profitable to you. It's not under the disguise of I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and because there's no key is unlocked, no door. Thanksgiving is a spiritual key that unlocks the hearts of men. Not only that, it unlocks the heart of God. Is that not amazing? Now, it's not that God requires it. There's just something about it. It's necessary to unlock the spiritual world. I don't understand fully why. I have no idea why. But a kind word will go a long way. I had one person who was taking some nerve medicine and with this medicine for the nerves and to settle them down. And he said to me, he said, you know, Alan, a kind word would probably do more than all of this medicine. A kind word will do a lot. A kind word, thanksgiving, opens the spiritual heavens. Now let's move on. So we see here that the Apostle Paul, when he came to the Philippian church, he prayed for them, but he started it off with prayer. He says in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Isn't that something? In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. What accompanies thanksgiving? Joy. So if I'm going to communicate authentic thanksgiving, it has to come through a heart of joy. Are you okay? It's not like, okay, well, bless God, I'm thankful for you anyway. Now let me talk to you. True thankfulness. Now, you say, Alan, why are you spending so much time on it? Because we can't get the door open. We can't go any further. We got to get the spiritual door open. Communicating with God, communicating with people, communicating with God's Holy Spirit. It all has to be through joy. With a thankful heart. It's not optional. If the presence of the Lord continues to build in this place, there has to be seated in here a joyful people with thankful hearts. And someone can come in that atmosphere, conviction can come to someone. Because here's what happens. Here's the spiritual science. What happens is somebody can come in. They can be cantankerous, ill, lost, whatever. But they're going to come in, they're going to say, they're going to see hands up, people worshiping and crying and praying. And they're going to say, here's the spiritual science. They're going to say, I don't know what they've got, but I want it. Every spiritual transaction comes, that is the first encounter that someone has to move spiritually. The law doesn't get them there. Well, bless you. You need to do this if you want to encounter God. Religious spirit doesn't work. Anytime there's a drawing effect, the spirit is involved. So someone comes in. They can look around, say, oh, they're a little weird. But for some reason, I want what they've got. They've got something that I don't have, but I want it. You don't have to say the prayer right. You don't have to do it right. You can stand on your head. You can pray backwards. The transaction will take place. Somebody comes in. I don't know what you got, but I want it. God, whatever it is they got, I want it. Bam, you got it. That's how it works. We don't persuade men through the mind of the Spirit. Everything of the Spirit is a spiritual experience. The only reason we talk is we're bringing explanation of what just happened to you. I can't teach you and then something happen. Something has to happen, then I can teach you what just happened. Are you with me? That's the ways of the Spirit. So if you must encounter the Spirit of God, then we teach you what just happened. That means your experience must happen. Do you get saved at the end or do you get saved at the beginning of the Christian life? It's at the beginning. The spiritual experience precedes the teaching. And we're looking to get taught so we can experience. But the truth is, a honest and thankful heart opens the heavens. Then the Holy Spirit will bring unto you the experiences He wants you to have. And in the course of your Bible study, we are studying God's Word in between experiences. That's what we're doing. I'm not living unto studying God's Word. Studying God's Word is what we do in between the experiences. And if you'll notice, God will push in the experiences. And we run through His Word, and all of a sudden you're like, gosh, I'm in God's Word right where this experience is. Duh. Right? God's Word and the experience will run together. But trust me, it's the experiencing of God that is the longing of the people, is to experience God. So He says He thanks us. Always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We went over how in Acts chapter 16, how He's speaking to the original members of this church until now, which I'm thinking this was written probably 8 or 10 years after Acts 16. I'm not sure. I'm not going to be off too far. See, this is the book of Philippians written probably 8 to 10 years after the situation in Acts. First day until now, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Now, what do you learn by that verse? Is there a good work that's begun in you? The answer is yes. Now, who has promised unto you to complete it? God. God has promised you to complete this work He's begun in you. Does that mean, then, that there's some work yet to be done? Right, right. So, are we to rejoice in the work that's been done in you, or are we to condemn you for the work that's yet to be accomplished? You see, now listen, this is really a cool deal. We've been given permission to rejoice in the accomplishments that God's made in us and not to judge each other on what's yet to be accomplished. Did you feel a witness? Isn't that amazing? That gives me such great joy. So when you're messing up, the only thing I need to know is I have been given permission to operate with you based on your accomplishments. And if you say something or do something or whatever, I'm going to say, okay, that part's not fixed yet. But you know, I know your heart. I know your heart is Christ. It's amazing when we all mess up, we want to hang each other on our mess ups. And God says this, that He looks upon the heart. So the first thing you got to do with somebody is look upon the heart when they mess up. Well, yeah, Alan, you're not going to believe they did this and they did this. And I'll say, well, what's their heart? What do you really think their heart is? And if you ever get somebody down to that point, what do you think they're, well, I mean, do you think they love God? Well, yeah, they love God. Yeah, yeah, they do. Do you really think they want to bring down the kingdom of God? No, well, of course not. Of course. So what we want to do, we have been given permission. Not only been given permission, but God's saying it's a pretty good idea to do like I do and look upon the heart of man. So, what do you want to do? Just work on your heart. Just find out honestly where your heart is. Now that sounds simple. That's pretty big. Find out really where your heart is, because you'll be hiding, behind these alternate personalities that we've created to say this is who I am. And we'll hide behind those things, never getting to the real issue, who am I? And then, who am I in Christ? We're so busy projecting this spiritual person or this smart person or this person of great wisdom. Or we're always trying to project all this stuff, never having an honest conversation with God. And say, God, who am I? Who am I, God? Is my motive really and truly because I love you? When God drives your motives, don't get upset with Him. Because he'll try them. It's because he loves us. What in the world am I doing here? Let's get on. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Now, it is important to understand, now this is an in-depth term which I don't have time to spend on. Paul says, I have you in my heart. Now, as a church, it is important that we accomplish that. That we have each other in our hearts. That means I want you to pick out the person in this congregation that grates on you the worst. And work on that person. Get them in your heart. And you will walk in the power of the Spirit. Don't pray them out of the church. The only reason they're here is because of you. The only reason they're here. It's the whole congregation. We don't get to select for 10 people, have you noticed? But our goal is to get everyone in our hearts. So, you know, it was said like this. Paul said, pick out the least of the gospel. Figure out who you love the least. When you can love the ones that you love the least, the most, you have understood a big spiritual thing. Everyone's in a church body. Everybody's in a congregation. There's all kinds of people here that you want to draw up. Does anybody ever draw up when somebody grabs a mic? Oh, no. Oh, here we go. You know what I'm saying? I can feel the air sucked out of the room. This person grabbed the mic. And then you got another person will come up. It took every ounce of their being to give a word. And they're being judged at the same time because air went out of the room. So they're having to fight not only them on their own selves, but everybody anticipating what are they going to say. Right? Now, let me tell you something about that one. The outward spiritual manifestations. And what's a manifestation? When somebody comes up and they're crying and wanting to give a word, I'm talking about a corporate scene here, that's a manifestation. When somebody comes up, they're not crying, but I've got an utterance to give, that's a manifestation. When somebody comes up here and somebody prays for them, they fall over, that's a manifestation. Now, the falling over, the crying, the speaking's not God. Only thing I can tell you is somebody's encountering the Spirit of God. When you encounter the Spirit of God, it can make you cry. Everybody don't have a problem with that one. If somebody goes kind of out in the Spirit or whatever, then we got a problem with that one. Now, I'm with you. Listen, every time we pray for somebody, here they go. I'm like, oh, no, how many visitors we got here today? Now, don't act so spiritual. You think the same thing, right? Oh, no, this person's got the phone. Oh, my goodness, they don't ever make any sense. You know, we all kind of grow up. Now, think about that event. Think about that event as an opportunity to love them in your heart. Okay, they're going to do something wrong. I love them. I'm just going to help pray them through this thing. That's what I'm. Now, here's what I want you to see. A manifestation is God's protection of His glory. A manifestation is God's protection of His glory because it'll hit the religious spirit in you every time. You say, well, Alan, that offends me. Okay, you might have a religious spirit if that statement just offended you. When I was in Toronto and I was up there and, you know, these people jerking and hollering and crying. I mean, you're talking about a zoo. You know, I thought it was in a mental hospital ward somewhere. It was just a complete zoo, and it was offending. It wasn't offending me. I was there for research. I'm trying to learn. It's not offending me. I'm just here for research. The best way to get answers for research is to be a patient, which I eventually was. But what happened to me when God switched me from being doing research into being a patient, and I was laying there on the floor, I was asking the Lord, why Why have all these manifestations, God? It gets on my nerves. People's going to think we're crazy. People's going to think bad of us. And I had a vision. And in it, people were doing manifestations in a circle. We had somebody laughing, somebody crying, somebody fell out, somebody on all fours, and, you know, somebody waving a flag. And a friend of mine, I'll not call his name, but he's got a beard about like this, and it's black, and he's sitting right over there. It was going right around the pulpit, sounding like a choo-choo train. I said, okay, God, what is all this? And I was laying there. I said, God, and I had a vision of it. And the Lord told me, he said, the manifestations, he said, my glory's in the middle. He said, my glory's not the manifestation. They're encountering me, but the manifestations protects my glory. Because he said, a religious spirit can't get through it. Now, you got to catch what I just said. I can't teach it. You got to catch it. You see, the manifestations will offend you. We have to get to a point that the manifestations are understood. The glory of God's on the other side of it. The individuals that are having a true one are experiencing God. And this so happens sometimes. I mean, most people experience God and don't have a manifestation. Right? Let me make that one for the record. You don't always have to have an outward something happening. I'm just saying, when something outward does happen, it'll offend us. And I'm just telling you, the Lord, test what I say. For the Lord showed me that that offense of the manifestation, the glory of God's on the other side of it. And it'll keep out the religious spirit in you. Can anybody catch what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. I haven't got over it yet. It still bothers me. It doesn't bother me for me. It bothers me for somebody that doesn't understand. Right? That's who it bothers. And I'm not saying we're not supposed to use some wisdom. But I will tell you this. We can kill the Holy Spirit quicker than we can try to apply wisdom if we're not careful. We need to understand that people come to church to get changed. We're not trying to make them comfortable where they are. This is an operating room. Has anybody been here and not been challenged? We have all been challenged. We've all been challenged. When we put each other in our hearts and we trust God with each other to do the work in us that needs to be done, we're in an operating room here. The battleground's out there. The operating room's in here. Because God's operating on our hearts. Can we have grace and mercy and love each other as we're all going through something? You can say, but Alan, that person's coming up and they don't know what they're saying, and it's just that's not God. Well, that's where you got to be careful. It might be God. God might allow somebody to come up and just make a complete fool out of themselves, and they go back and sit down and say, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that one. But it's still done the work God wants it to do. Are you with me? Now, the reason I'm trying to explain this a little bit is so that we can get everybody down in our hearts for the kingdom of God to move. So, therefore, are we looking for manifestations? The answer is no. A manifestation is not God. A manifestation is how somebody's encountering the reality and the presence of God in their life. Some people do it differently. Some people are very quiet. Some people just can't help it, and they are not. We can allow for the quiet just like we allow for the not. And will we offend some people and they leave and say that we're crazy? It's very highly possible. The only thing, too, is possible they'll be back, too. Because the curiosity will just get you when you know you encountered the Spirit of God. That's all. Now, and what we're looking for is the presence and the love and the joy of the brethren to be so high that if anything is off too far, it doesn't really hurt anything. I never will forget, I was sitting in a little cafe one time, and a bunch of guys, you know, old farmers sitting around eating, you know, and drinking coffee. And we always kind of pick on each other and rag each other. This one guy's mother came in there one day. Of course, he was in his 50s then. But his mother comes in, you know. Charles, where you been? Now, you know you're supposed to come out here. You know, she just started. That's her little boy. She started telling me what for. But, of course, we did not let it ride, you know. We kind of picked up on that. And, and, uh, And we just started dying laughing. And then we said, I forget what was said. And she turned around. She called on. She said, listen, Charles is a little slow, but it's not enough to hurt. And now listen. That's the way God looks at us. Sometimes all of us, sometimes we're a little slow. But listen, if the love and the joy of the brethren is at a high place, someone can come in here and totally mess up. And it's just not enough to hurt. Right? Because the love and the joy is so high, it can absorb it. We can handle it. You know. We just don't need too many of us at the same day, maybe, or something. I don't know. But the point is, the love and the joy, when it reaches these heights, we have to be able to exercise that with each other before God's going to send others in here. Until we get this one down with each other, the others aren't going to come. So we've got to get it down with each other. I think we're about there. And man, I've got to move here. Paul's thanksgiving in prayer. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. And this is my prayer. Watch it. That your love may do what? Abound how much? So does that show you that love's in degrees? It is. More and more. Now, as it gets more and more, what happens to it? In knowledge and depth in insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Now, do you want, we have no righteousness. Our righteousness is in who? It's in Christ. But we get to experience the fruit of Christ's righteousness. Because he says that we'll get the fruit of righteousness. Well, we didn't. There's nothing in us righteous. But we're going to experience the fruit of righteousness in Christ. Little side benefit here. That we get some fruit. What do you do with fruit? You eat it. Fruit. We get to experience it. Now, he also says you need to be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. So it's got fruit. Then it comes into the discernment thing. But he also says that love may abound. And he says that love abounding has depth. If you want to get insight, what's the prerequisite to insight? Love. There again, spiritual key. Why does God say that you may love one another? And Jesus says, listen, God, the world will know them by their love. Why is love? Does he want us just to get gushy about stuff? Love is a spiritual key. It unlocks heavens. Right? Now, I want you to understand something. This key that is unlocked has depth. It's not linear. It's dimensional. Paul's reasons for praying. Let me show this to you. Paul's specific request. And this is my prayer that you love, that your love may abound more and more in what? Knowledge and depth of? Knowledge and depth of insight. That was his specific request. The book of Philippians is huge to a prophetic people. He says, and this is my prayer that your love, he's not praying for them, just a little prayer. This is spiritual business. This is my prayer that your love may abound. That means your love's going to increase more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So your love's going to go up that you might go in. Are you with me? Your love's going to get bigger so you might go in. So it lets you know that love is your spiritual spacesuit in which to float in the Spirit. Love is your spiritual spacesuit in which you can float in the Spirit. No spacesuit, no Spirit. No spacesuit, no flight. Love is necessary to move in the Spirit. the key. It unlocks the door. You got your love on, spiritual spacesuit. And you can fly in the spirit into the depths. Now watch this one. Reason for these requests, so that you may be able to do what? Discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So we see here that there's an importance to discernment. Right? And it's, and what's the discernment about? We're discerning between what's best and what's not best. And may be pure and blameless for the day of what? Day of Christ. We're not getting into the day of Christ today. But it's for the day of Christ. So there's a reason that we are operating in this love, and we're going to go into the depths where nobody, no man has ever gone. We're going to go in there in our spiritual spacesuit of love, and we're going to go into the depths of that thing. But it's got a purpose, and the purpose has something to do with the day of Christ. Is the day of Christ a big deal? Yes. And what Paul's talking about and what he's asking us to engage with the God Spirit with has everything to do with the day of Christ. Now, look at this. He uses the word there, you could see, insight, knowledge and depth of insight. Let me give you a little insight into what insight means. Insights mean to enter the spiritual world, you go in, not out. To enter, that's not the definition, it's next, I'm sorry. This is just a little statement I threw in there. To enter the spiritual world, you go in, not out. The spiritual world is dimensional. It has depth to it. Now let me go as far as to say the heavens right here. The witnesses are looking out of the portals and gates of heaven are right here. Do I think that they're seeing here? The answer is yes, I do. I think they've got to go over to a hole or a portal or something so they can look in. I don't know if they dial it up and digitally punch in Stony Point, North Carolina. I don't know what to do. But do I think they can see in here? The answer is yes. Do I think I can see in there? The answer is no. The only way I can see into there is through a reflection. I know there's chairs in heaven because there's a chair right here. Do you know how I know, the witness that I know Jesus was here? Because I see him in you. Everything here is a reflection. Does God want us to do everything that Jesus did? The answer is yes. How do I know that? Because I can't see him face to face, but I can see him in you. Everything here is a reflection. They can see in here, and I can only see reflection. Why is God wanting Christ in us the hope of glory? Why is he wanting that to grow and to increase so that people can see Jesus? We can't handle him face to face yet. We can only handle the reflection. But let me tell you something. To reflect the Son of God is a trip. It's a rush you'll never get over. You know, we got Jesus junkies. They just want to feel the rush of Jesus coming through their soul. Right? Oh, mercy. Don't say that one too many times. Wow. Gosh, I got hot. Yeah, it did. Don't say that one out loud. Insight is the capacity to discern the true nature of a situation. Penetration. You're looking into something. The love of God is what gives you the insight to see into a situation. You will think you know all that's happening by looking at a situation. You're only seeing the package, the outer wrapper. You don't eat the box of cornflakes for nourishment. The outer packaging's not the deal. It's the inner. So when you look at all of us acting and reacting out of our outer package, you got to go in. In is where the real truth is. So why does he want us to have insight in the spirit? You can only do it through love. Religious spirit, you'll wall off at the manifestation. You can say, well, bless God, he's got a bad attitude. That's a manifestation. a bad attitude. Well, I'm not going to do anything until they get their attitude better. I'm like, well, you're going to be waiting a long time because most people will have a bad attitude. Carry on with it, right? How do you get through a bad attitude? You got to have the love of God. You got to have the love of God for them. When you got the love of God and you sit down there with the love of God, it'll open a door, a key. You'll open the door. You'll go right through their bad attitude, right into their heart. Your religious spirit has to come down so you can go in. Any manifestation will always keep out a religious spirit. Are you with me? I don't know what I just said, but I know it's true. So insight is the capacity to discern the true nature of a situation. So God's wanting all of us in here to gain a prophetic insight. How do we gain it? It's through the love of God. How do we know we got the love of God? Because we love the brethren. That's how you know if you got the love of God. You just think of the least of the brethren, and ever how much you love the least of the brethren is how much you love God. Uh-oh, somebody say glory, hallelujah. Say, I don't love as much as I thought I did. That's the truth. You don't love God any more than you love the least of the brethren. Now, here's how you're going to be tested on it. You're going to find yourself in a situation that you have to take up for the person that you love the least. You will find yourself in a situation that the correct response is for you to take up for the person that you love the least. Because God will keep testing you. Are you going to talk about them with everybody else? But you say, whoa, wait a minute. Have you not heard that blood's thicker than water? Surely Christ's blood's thicker than water. I don't care what Steve's done. He's my brother. I'm going to take up for him. Truth is, we're going to take up for each other. We love each other. It's that happens. When this love, God will put in front of you the very person continuously in conversation that you love the least of to help you get over it. Now, if you got something against that person, you're supposed to go to them. You're not supposed to talk about them with other people. You say, well, Alan, I don't like that person. Well, you go to them. You don't tell a crowd of other people, right? Because you're being tested. You're being pressed by God. The act or outcome of grasping the inward or hidden nature of things or of perceiving in an intuitive manner. This is what insights are. It's the act or outcome of grasping the inward or hidden, this is out of the dictionary, inward or hidden nature of things or of perceiving in an intuitive manner. Here we see perception comes in. Insights, it is of necessity that our church grows in the insights of the Spirit of God. Listen, we're waiting for God to show up. And God's already showing up as much as we can handle. He's waiting on us. Ain't no need praying for Him to come. He's here. It's our ability to key into His hearness. If you can't walk in here and feel what God's here. I mean, how do you have God anywhere a little bit? He's either there or He's not. Right? God's not in pieces. I can't be somewhere a little bit, and neither does He. His presence is among us. So what we're after is for us to be able to engage with His presence here among us. The only thing I'm telling you or teaching you is insights on how we can experience His nearness. It's key to have the love of the kingdom of God. How do you know you got it? Test yourself. How much do you love the least of the brethren? When we love, it is this key that unlocks heavens, which brings us knowledge, brings us understanding, gives us insights. We have a prophetic seeing, but it's a in-seeing. And as we start getting our dimensional seeing and our insights, we can see your love will abound more and more because you start seeing everything as God sees it. We start seeing each other. One thing to see like God sees means you issue forgiveness a lot. Most people who can't forgive are people who cannot forgive themselves. If you find yourself holding high standards for everybody, that they cannot live up to? It's because you cannot forgive yourself. Forgive someone and set a person free to find out that person's yourself. Okay, I did not get anywhere today, but you'll have to read your notes next week because we're going to move on to lesson 6. Thank you. Amen. You got it all. It bounced right off that back wall and went right in the back row. Okay. But Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today, oh God. Thank you for Rick Phillips getting it. We love you, Lord. Dear God, thank you for today. Help us, oh God, to grow in insights into your presence and who you are. Teach us, oh God, to not only tolerate each other, but to love each other, that we might love you. And dear God, I am thankful right now for your people and all of our warmness, our love, and even our weirdness, if it has to be. Let yourself be known to your people and change us all. Hurry, God, I think we're running out of time. In Jesus' name, amen.